This is Football in Europe.
Thanks for downloading the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Daly. Alongside me, Chris Parrott.
We're back.
You're glad to be back?
Yeah, all the way now through till May. Lucky
every
you.
Every Monday. Yeah. It's nice to be back. European football season well underway now. We're on the international break. So we thought this would be a good time to come back. All the transfers done. Hopefully people are still subscribing. That'd be bad if we put it up and all the thousands of subscribers were gone.
Tens of thousands because,
it wasn't tens. It wasn't tens of thousands.
Oh, yeah, but they can't be here because they didn't start when the season started. But, everything's now sorted.
Exactly, we're done and dusted. So, Chris, we're going to start this one. We're going to be talking to Archie Rintat today.
Yeah.
German football know-it-all and off BT Sport and the Evening Stand, loads of places.
I like know-it-all. That's something at school where he used to be offensive to
I don't know where that came from. He's really nice.
Expert.
Expert. And we're going to be going through Spain, Italy and France as well, where those leagues are at the moment. We're not going to talk about the international break too much because we're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be telling you about things that might be happening and you might hear it already. But we are going to start by talking about England very briefly, Chris.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of the game.
Yes.
I opened Twitter and it was people were picking meat off the carcass of a first game in charge of Sam Allardyce.
I always think you know when England are playing if you go on social media because it is people, and actually probably me included, I don't know, there's something about it, you just become more vocal. They won the game, which it was probably, apart from Scotland, who thumped, Malta, that's probably the hardest test Slovakia away. It wasn't very different at all to how they played at Euro.
It was 8 of the 11 were Iceland.
It was 8 of the 11.
Yeah.
I think Rooney's role will be up for debate for long.
Come on, we can't be having this
exactly
anymore, can we?
Long into the night. The one thing I did see, whether it was progress, well, I think it was, we scored a late goal against Wales and we couldn't find a goal against Iceland in 75 minutes. And there was far more composure on Sunday against Slovakia when very different circumstances. They didn't have to find the goal. Whereas they probably did in France. But, he took Kane off, for example, and when he brought Sturridge on. He didn't just bring Sturridge on and just throw every forward on the pitch. And they were still patient. It wasn't aimless like it was in France. And I think that will be very important in a group where England are going to be massive favourites going into every game.
Lallana was great, wasn't he? I saw the highlights. The last 15 minutes, he had like three goes. And
yeah,
hit the
he was England's best player. Again, one of the inexplicable things in the summer was he didn't start that game against Iceland. I think Klopp loves him. Allardyce clearly does. He deserved the goal. Pleased for him for his first international goal. But I think the way they chased the goal was important. There's all sorts of things to work on. But we are only, 2 months on from the worst.
Yeah, 70 days or something from the worst day in the national team's history, possibly.
Certainly in my lifetime.
In our lifetime, yeah.
Well done, Big Sam. And I wanted him as England coach, so I'm pleased with that.
We're going to talk about how all the qualifying groups are sort of shaping up on the next show, because we're in the middle of the break, as we mentioned. But we're going to talk about transfers in the first part here, Chris, before we get into the leagues. So we've been asking people to tweet in at FIE Pod. I'm just open the Twitter. We've got so many tweets here about the best bits of business or most interesting transfers.
Did you say
the
summer. Twitter?
Did I say the Twitter?
Oh, Dad.
Like an old confused person. Okay, so let's read out some of the tweets that you guys have been sending in. Saeed says, Gundogan to City, Benega to Inter on a free, Pjanic to Juve for 32 mil, and Vasquez to Sevilla. Lots of people talking about Vasquez to Sevilla, 15 million. Lucas Swain and our good friend Adam Summerton have both gone for Bartra for 8 million euros. Has the making of a steal. Lucas Orca also goes for Halilovic to Hamburg, who looked very good in the pre-season. Simon Harrison says Krejci and Nagy to Bologna, both good business. Giacomo says Franco Vasquez to Sevilla, another one plumping for that. Kevin Hatchard, another German football know-all, good friend of the show, Kevin, says Ousmane Dembele to Borussia Dortmund. Yeah. The kid's going to rip it. I mean, he looks frightening already. Donald McCrory says Adam Ljajic to Torino. He says a seriously gifted talent that's not showed it, stagnated at Roma. Two more, Jeff Waddle. This is more criticism of this one. He says, I will never understand why an Italian manager would sanction the return of David Luiz, who has no defensive acumen whatsoever.
It's going to be a test of Conte's coaching ability.
Imagine those two screaming at each other. And Kurt Hurd says, not a transfer as such, but Jonas Hector signing another deal with Köln. Some good business. Absolutely agree, because he was linked with Liverpool. Chris, crazy money. We're in crazy town. We're through the looking glass.
Yeah, I don't know if we should be surprised, though. I just think it's the way it is.
Come on. Higuain. Crazy. We'll talk about Higuain later, but nuts money.
No, It is, of course.
Stones
it is.
Was 50 million sterling.
But there are so many factors to this. I think so. The Premier League was way beyond a billion. I know that.
1.4 billion. It's euros.
It comes back to whether clubs can afford it. If they can, I have no problem with it at all.
Yeah, but you're still paying 50 quid for a ticket. This is my problem.
I think that is meddled up in. I truly don't believe that ticket prices actually have anything to do.
Why not make them free?
You have to ask someone far more important. I really think, because if you add up 60,000 people spending 50 quid instead of 40 quid in terms of a football club and all the finances,
it is good. Arsenal fry. Get like 2 million through the gate, don't they?
Yeah, but it's small fry when you're paying someone 200 grand a week. I honestly think it's used. I know it is used, and our ticket prices are through the roof, but I think it is used as an excuse by some clubs, actually. But I think in terms of the Premier League, I think it was, you know, the money is mad, but I think it was an exceptional circumstances this summer. The new TV deal, of course, but also the amount of new big high profile coaches coming in. Mourinho, Guardiola and Conte were always going to want and probably need to spend big money, because all three of those clubs underachieved, certainly domestically, last season. So, particularly Chelsea. So, I think that had something to do with it as well. It was a summer where a lot of our biggest clubs, having seen Leicester run away with the title, were always going to spend maybe more than they did in other years.
But I think a lot of the consensus is, I mean, you look at the money spent. So the Premier League, 1.4 billion euros. Serie A, 699 million euros. A lot of that being Juve related.
Yeah.
Fees. Bundesliga, basically almost a third of what the Premier League spent. Renato Sanchez, one of the biggest signings. Dortmund, the biggest spenders. La Liga, only 458 million euros spent.
If you look at the money that is going into those leagues, and believe me, I when a club's spending 90 or 50 million pounds on players, I think it has gone bananas. But if you look at the money that's coming into the Premier League relative to what those clubs can afford, it isn't that much. What I would say, Championship spending is, for me, far more relative to how much money is going into that division, far more bonkers that a club can spend 15 million on a player than, for example, Pogba. Yeah. Because, you know, Manchester United, if he's there for 5 years, it's not that much a season for a club their size, and for how much Paul Pogba will make Manchester United, it is all relative. And I think there are a lot of clubs who overspend, but as I said, if clubs can afford it, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Championship spent 50 million euros more than Liga, or something like that. 191 million euros spent by Liga clubs. PSG relatively conservative in this transfer window. Krakowiak, their biggest signing. Some of the biggest deals: Hulk, of course, going to China for 55 million euros to Shanghai SIPG. Pogba, the biggest transfer in football history. Stones, Sané, Xhaka, Mkhitaryan, Mane, Mustafi, among those, among the highest transfer fees of the summer.
I've got one other thing as well, because you mentioned Stones there.
Give me it, baby.
I think if there was more clarity about exactly when the money is paid, because, you know, the idea that the Manchester City signed John Stones and all that money immediately goes into Everton's bank account is, you know, I think that would help explain it more to people like you and I, because I don't really understand. And also, you know, a lot of transfer fees, other clubs get money. Stones is an example. At Barnsley got 15%. So they were always going to sell him for what they wanted, Everton, plus 15%.
And they know City would pay it.
They know City would pay it. It's the same with Romagnoli was linked from Milan to Chelsea before Chelsea got David Luiz. They signed Romagnoli for 25 million, I think, a year ago. And I think Roma have a 30% sell-on. So if you're going to sign Romagnoli, you're going to have to pay through the roof.
You're going to pay over the odds.
Because otherwise Milan aren't going to...
Why would they do it?
Why would they do it?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the biggest transfer deals in European football terms, I suppose, on transfer deadline day. Joe Hart going to Torino, which will... I mean, we have a special interest in English players abroad, as we have, and even managers with Gary Neville last season. Yeah. So we'll keep a real close eye on how Joe Hart's getting on. Clinton and G went to Marseille on loan. Cuadrado's gone to Juve on a three-year loan from Chelsea. Sami Nasri's gone to Sevilla. And Balotelli to Nice, which we'll talk about later as well. I suppose Nice, maybe they think... I mean, it's been a change in management, but maybe they think we can do what we did with Ben Arfa, you know, this sort of...
I do hope so. I am one of those who is given up on Balotelli.
Yeah, I have as well.
And I hope I'm wrong. I mean, as ever with him, but the idea of him on the Côte d'Azur, Saint-Tropez, Monaco, suits him rather nicely. I'd love to see him.
A slower league will probably suit him, wouldn't it? Yeah, he's a bit slower.
You know, again, another coach, another club who think they can turn him around, and let's hope they can. But, I mean, again, with Ben Arfa, that was... He was so good at Nice last season. I really hope at Paris Saint-Germain.
He gets game time.
He gets game time. He doesn't see the bright lights of the Eiffel Tower and the Champs-Élysées, and he does knuckle down and continue on, as opposed to being the player that for most of the career.
That's what we had people on the show last year who sort of expressed a similar concern with that. But they played him up front, I saw the other week as well. So we'll be across all the major leagues, all the transfers. Let's talk to Archie Rintat now. It's time to talk about the Bundesliga and the German national team.
This is Football in Europe, Bundesliga Roundup.
Archie, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me back. Cheers.
I called you a know-it-all earlier, but I said it in the nicest way possible. Are you offended?
It's not the first time that you've called me that, to be honest. So I've kind of been worn down to the effects of it. So, yeah, I take it on the chin.
Good, because we've got lots of questions to ask you about German football. And we want to start by asking you about Bastian Schweinsteiger, who's played for the national team for the last time. Can you tell us a little bit about the occasion and how his legacy as a national team player is being viewed? Obviously, a lot has been made of the fact that he isn't getting any game time or anywhere near the first team for Manchester United at the moment.
Yeah, his legend, I think, is not as strong as it would have been had he bowed out after the World Cup final in 2014. This kind of captaincy, I think, says it all that I even adjust that, even use the word kind of, because he's barely been a captain in only name in the last 2 years. He's not really been the first choice at all. When he came on at the Euros, for example, to play against Slovakia, he just seemed so off the pace. I was in Lille that day and it just looked like he was playing his own game. Germany was 3-0 up at the time, but he just didn't look like he was on the level that you needed to be to cope with the rigours of top international football, if there is such a thing. And his whole farewell, it was a bit odd as well, because it was held in Mönchengladbach, which is, to those who don't know their German geography, nowhere near Munich, where he is where he is celebrated most. It's right up in the northwest, or in the west even. And it was a kind of half full Borussia Park, which said farewell. That said, it was a very emotional occasion. But it seemed like, why wouldn't you have this occasion in Munich where he would get a proper send-off? But all the same, because of his heroic performance against Argentina in that 2014 World Cup final, he will forever be remembered as a legend in German football.
Archie, Germany couldn't add the European Championship title to that World Cup, losing to France. They beat Norway 3-0 on Sunday to get their Russia campaign up and running. How's the national team looking? And I imagine people expect them to qualify at least very comfortably.
Yep, the national team is looking fine. They will stroll to the World Cup in Russia, I have no doubt. Thomas Müller scored twice. He's been lauded for that. It was a difficult summer, I think, actually, for Thomas Müller, because he didn't score during the Euros, as it was kind of well highlighted. And I think that it is a little bit odd to see Mario Götze playing up front still, given the fact that he's not been started at Borussia Dortmund due to a lack of match fitness. That strikes me as a little bit strange, that he's good enough for the German national team, but not quite good enough at the moment for Borussia Dortmund. But I think that you look at the likes of Joshua Kimmich, who scored as well last night. What a player that he's looking to be. And in terms of, it's a bit strange that he has come through at right back when Emre Can was given so many opportunities in the build-up to the Euros. And yet Kimmich has come through after this great season at Bayern Munich that he had last season. And it now looks like he completely owns that spot. So I think that at full-back, given the continual progression of Jonas Hector, I think that we are going to see a new German team being built. But I think we just have to hope that, as my colleague at BT, Raphael Honigstein, was saying actually over here on one of the German talk shows, you have to hope that he doesn't experiment quite so much, Joachim Löw, this time.
I also saw that Love said after the game that it's a shame that Thomas Muller couldn't score those goals at the Euros, but it seemed he was only half joking when he said that. Talking about players, you mentioned a lot of players there, Archie, who players there who moved clubs but stayed within the Bundesliga, and I'm thinking about Goethe, and I'm also thinking about Hummels. How does the Bundesliga view the crazy transfer fees that Premier League clubs are paying, and in particular the fees that they're paying to pull talent out of Germany?
I think you've summed it up very well there in just using the word crazy, because I don't think they can quite believe the scale of spending which is going on. But equally, I don't think you're going to find some of the mid-table clubs in the Bundesliga particularly complaining about it, because you look at Mainz, for example, who have over the years with their ex-sporting director now, Christian Heidel, have been very frugal in the way they spend. You look at the fact that they've been able to get millions out of deals for Shinji Okazaki last summer and Loris Karius to Liverpool this summer. Mm. So I think that it's probably benefiting the middle of the league a little bit more, because they're able to get perhaps some extra money where they wouldn't have had it before. And to be honest, they're not even, I would say, developing the players to the fullest extent where they would have in the past either. So I think it's actually been beneficial to the league. You look at the amount that Leroy Sané went to Schalke for example. Schalke have managed to finance most of their summer spending merely off that deal. So I think that whilst the Bundesliga may look at it and go, well, this is outrageous, they're going to go, well, you know, actually, we'll say it's outrageous, but we'll just stick that little bit of money in our back pockets there, and we'll use it wisely and continue to turn over a profit here.
You mentioned Sane, Archie. What exactly will he bring to City? I mean, Guardiola will know him from the Bundesliga last season, but it's a lot of money for a very young...
Is he even ready?
Yeah, exactly. Is he going to be in their first 11? How good is he?
He has an enormous amount of raw potential. He is exceptionally quick. He is the sort of player that, in a tight game with 20 minutes to play, the stage he's at, you would want to bring him on to go and hit the opposition on the counter. I can remember quite a few times for Schalke in the last season or two where, when Sané has been playing, he has just stormed forward at this electric pace. There was this goal he scored away at Wolfsburg 2 seasons ago on the counter, which I think demonstrated this perfectly. He's got good dribbling skills as well, but you would just say that there is this... The way that he opens up, it's almost like a gazelle, actually. It's quite something to kind of watch him live. And I think that Manchester City fans will actually really enjoy watching him. But I think the great thing is that he's working under someone like Pep Guardiola, somebody who really will be able to develop him. And I think that the fact that Sané was brought to City shows that Guardiola really wanted him, because otherwise you see how Guardiola has treated players before. At Bayern Munich, for example, who he wasn't too keen on working with. I think it's a very good sign for Sané that City did indeed pay the amount that they did for him anyway.
So Jürgen Klopp also, unsurprisingly, in his first full summer transfer window, raided the Bundesliga for talent. And he didn't pay much for Loris Karius. They brought in Maniger on a free as backup. They signed Joel Matip as well on a free. I'm trying to think there was any... Oh, Ragnar Klavan, of course, from Augsburg. What do you make to Klopp's transfer business, bringing in players from Germany?
Well, I think it's smart. I think if you look at the players who have moved from the Bundesliga to the Premier League of late, you wouldn't say there have been many major flops. I don't know what you and Chris think.
I'm racking my brain now, trying to think of one actually.
But I mean, even if you look at the likes of Tim Klose to Norwich, kind of these players have been able to come in immediately and shine in the Premier League. Even Jan Kirchhoff, I think, did reasonably well at Sunderland last season. And I think that it shows that the standard of the Bundesliga, the technical quality that the league prides itself on, is actually very much reaping its rewards. I think that the Premier League very much puts itself on the highest pedestal in saying that if you're doing it over in the Premier League, then you're doing it at the highest level. I'm not necessarily sure that it works in such binary terms like that, that one league is above another. I think there are different challenges to be faced in every league. And I think that actually the Bundesliga will and has prepared players quite well. I wouldn't say, all the same, that Ragnar Klavan would be my first choice centre-back, or indeed to play in that level. I would have expected him to be signed more by a mid-table Premier League club, but I think that he's still a competent central defender. I think that Loris Karius is a keeper, again, with outstanding potential as well, but it'll be, I think you have to question, will he get the time now to kind of bed in that Simon Mignolet's been given his chance? It'll be interesting to see whether Karius comes straight back into that side. But I think Matip is a good signing as well. But you wouldn't say, all the same, that Klopp has managed to pick off the cream of the crop in the Bundesliga.
We also had one very notable transfer from England to Germany. Oliver Burke on, I think it was around transfer deadline day, that the young, most expensive Scottish player ever, I think, went from Forest to Leipzig. How did people view that transfer? And also, generally, an East German team going back in the Bundesliga, to me, should be celebrated, but owing to their name and the company that owe them, Leipzig aren't particularly popular, are they?
No, I think not particularly popular is a very nice way of putting it, given the fact that in their cup game away at Dresden, somebody from the Dresden fans threw a bull's head in the direction of the Leipzig fans. So that is grotesque. But given some of the stories that you hear, which have been in terms of aimed as fan protests at Leipzig, because they are seen as being the ultimate plastic club, effectively. Even the Hoffenheim fans. Hoffenheim is a club that has had this reputation of, or at least they see themselves, and I think it's probably right, of being Germany's most hated club. And they made this great play before they played Leipzig. Their fans made this great choreography saying, "You've stolen our crown from us as Germany's most hated clubs." it was actually quite funny. But then, I guess it's the benefit of when football fans do self-deprecation. They do it quite well. But Oliver Burke, yes, the most expensive signing for Leipzig in their short 7-year history. It's going to be interesting to see where exactly he fits into the puzzle there, because they certainly pulled out all the stops, Leipzig, to make sure that he didn't join a Manchester United or an Arsenal. And I actually do think that Burke going abroad, going to Leipzig, will be a better step for him in his career rather than had he signed for a big English club where I think he would have really struggled to kind of make the breakthrough. I think that Leipzig should give him the first team opportunities. If you're looking at how desperately they wanted to sign him, I would be shocked if he's not going to be starting there pretty much every week. And whilst, okay, you want to see players go out there, learn the language and really kind of get into the culture of a club, I think that it is a benefit to him that Ralf Rangnick, the sporting director, is a renowned Anglophile. And also their coach, Ralf Hasenhüttl, a man who once did a trial at Chelsea way back, I think nearly 20 years ago. He also has good enough English, I think, to get his message across. I don't think players I don't think coaches or indeed staff are going to make special plays for or special exceptions for players in that they will make sure, okay, I'm going to speak to him in English, but I think it will help him settle into the club and it gives him a better chance of succeeding.
Yeah, Red Bull, of course, the powerhouse behind RP Leipzig. Going to be very interesting to see how they get on this season, and next weekend they are at home to Borussia Dortmund. Schalke play Bayern in the big Friday night game, a massive fixture in German football. Other notable fixtures, Leverkusen against Hamburg and Freiburg host Gladbach. Archie, the title race, how do you see that one panning out? Bayern will win it?
I think that Bayern Munich will win the title again this season, yes. I think that Borussia Dortmund, I was at their game against Mainz on the opening Saturday of the season. I didn't think they were all that good, actually. I think Mainz could have very easily merited a draw in that game. But I think that, as Kicker actually said a few weeks ago, Dortmund are not going to function at the push of a button this season. It's going to take some time for them to really gel. And it is exciting to see what happens when they do gel, such as the extraordinary talent that they have, for example, out wide in Ousmane Dembele. There is a man who is effortlessly quick and the sort of player that it's exciting to watch the fans as much as it is exciting to watch him, just to see how the fans almost levitate off their seats when they see him kind of open up and run down a channel.
A gazelle as well, another gazelle.
I don't know. I'd say he's more of a cheater. If we're continuing this animal comparison.
I actually quite like this as a feature, Archie. It's great.
Players as animals.
Players as animals.
Players as animals.
Okay, we'll get you on next time. What's Ragnar Klavan? What would he be?
I would say. Oh no! What animal would you say is solid?
Rhino.
Rhino is really solid.
But not the quickest.
Yeah, rhino.
Rhino, yeah.
That'll do. Ragnar Klavan is a rhino. Archie did a great interview with Andre Schürrle as well. That's on the Set Pieces website at the moment. Archie, thank you so much for coming on the first podcast of the new season.
Cheers, Rob. Cheers, Chris. Absolute pleasure.
Follow the Football in Europe account on Audio Boom for the latest podcasts, interviews and special features.
Okay, Chris, we're into part three, the final part of the show. It's an international week. Enjoying the international?
Yes, although I normally yearn for the return of domestic fixtures.
Of Ipswich Town. And
well, that goes without saying. Friday night on TV, don't worry about it.
Is it Ipswich on Friday?
For some reason.
Who are they playing?
Reading, the big one. Actually, 12 months on.
No one is calling it the big one.
No one, not even Ipswich or Reading fans. But they put it on last season, same weekend of the season. We got thumped and never particularly enjoyable going to the Medeski Stadium anyway, and not when you lose.
I don't mean to stitch you up here, but don't you go into the Medeski Stadium as a child? Don't you? Be honest, do you, when you go to the Medeski Stadium,
I may have done
an under 16 ticket?
I may have done in the past, but that's because I have to spend about £9 getting there from the town centre.
You're now 30. You cannot do that anymore, Chris. Okay.
Well, not going on Friday.
Okay, so. We talked about the Bundesliga with Archie, so we're going to do a little roundup of La Liga, Liga and Serie A, the main leagues we talk about on the show, and we're going to try and do this a bit quick fire, yeah?
Okay.
And then we're going to predict who's going to finish in the Champions League places for all the major leagues.
Yeah. I actually got the title winners bang on last season, which wasn't that
well
hard.
Well done.
Because let's be honest, it was a great season, but ultimately the four favourites all won the four
exactly,
big leagues.
Yeah, and I think I've been really boring with my predictions. So we'll do those in a minute. Let's start with La Liga. So a great start for Las Palmas, who of course signed Kevin Prince-Boateng.
Yeah.
Who's turned into something of a revelation. I'm not that surprised. I know he's sort of been in exile and he's got his attitude problems and stuff like that. So they're top after two games. But Barcelona and Real Madrid with 100% records, Chris.
Yeah, rather ominous. For the rest, you would imagine. It's a very interesting summer, though. I think Barcelona had an enormous clear out of, apart from Dani Alves, who left, of squad players. And I think they spent a fair bit, certainly a lot more than Real Madrid, who barely spent anything. And they brought in lots of players who they will hope, young, very talented players, will push their, because it's a fairly set first 11, and then hopefully seamlessly going, like Umtiti will eventually replace Mascherano, you would imagine. Andre Gomez and Denis Suarez, hopefully in central midfield. Sergio Roberto is the right back. That's interesting. I wonder when Champions League comes at the business end, whether that right back berth will be his or whether it be Alex Vidal.
I've read rave reviews of him, though. I mean, people have been very complimentary about the way he's played.
Yeah, and he's ahead of Alex Vidal. They didn't sign a right back, which they could have done. Yeah. They signed Lucas Digne at left back to push Jordi Alba. So I think they've strengthened their squad. It was interesting they had the goalkeeper scenario last season. I mean, Jasper Cillessen.
So they've gone with Ter Stegen.
They've gone with Ter Stegen. They've signed Cillessen, though. He's not going to be particularly happy, I wouldn't imagine, to sit on the bench all campaign long. But Ter Stegen was clearly unhappy that he wasn't playing every game, understandably. And then the striker situation, which, you know, if you're a centre-forward, even in the modern day, with all the money and the lure of Barcelona strikers, it was almost quite refreshing. People were turning them down. You know, Nolito, Gamero, they were linked.
Because they know you're not going to play every week.
Well, you're barely going to play. You know, barring an injury, they are going to play Messi, Suarez and Neymar. So they got Paco Alcácer in the end. And Munir, who had started the season well, actually, has gone to Valencia. I think they want Munir and they want him to be
a loan, right, isn't it, Munir?
It's a loan as part of the transfer. I think when push came to shove, they thought, if in the Champions League final you need a goal, is it going to be more likely to be from Munir or Paco Alcácer? And I think they went with the latter and they've got him. So, interesting. And then Real Madrid, as I mentioned, very quiet. You know,
Morata.
Morata.
The signing, yeah.
I don't think they ever wanted Pogba, despite what his agent.
No, and I read a thing that Barcelona, I think, had paid a fee to have first refusal on him if he was up for grabs. Mm. So yeah, I mean, I'm maybe surprised that they goalkeeper was so good last year, but I did think maybe they'd go back in for De Gea.
Thank God they didn't, given how long that one went. They won the Champions League. I think Atletico were the best team in Europe. They ultimately weren't because they didn't win a penalty shootout. But, you know, I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. And Zidane came in and did a better job than certainly I expected, having replaced Benitez. And he's very much, you know, he's Zinedine Zidane. And what he says goes, I think, more than former coaches at Real Madrid. And he clearly didn't think that the squad needed that much. And the way they've started, he might be right. Bale has been on fire. Ronaldo's not playing yet.
Yeah, coming back. Yeah.
And Toni Kroos, I think, who sort of he started more games than anybody else since Zidane has taken over. And I think you're seeing he is such a vital member of that team now. He was brilliant at Euro in certain games, and I think he's the main man for Real Madrid, certainly pulling the strings along with Modric.
Atletico with only 2 points to their name. Disappointing start to the season for them, but they did manage to bring in Gamero, a player you mentioned, Nico Gaitan, as well, from Benfica. Big loss for the Portuguese club, but keeping Griezmann was key, and so was keeping Simeone.
Yeah, and actually Griezmann's done an interview when he said he rang Simeone up and said, "Are you staying before I sign this contract extension?" And Simeone said yes, and so he said, "Well, me too." And I think Simeone said a lot of last season he is as good as Messi and Ronaldo. And I would concur from January onwards. He was the best player at Euro. And, okay, he missed a penalty in the final at San Siro. They lost the shootout. He lost to Ronaldo in the Champions League final and the Euro final. But he almost, you know, they are a team, but he was that X factor last season. You think how good he was against Bayern and Barcelona in the knockout stages. And I think if he continues that level of performance, then I think he is as up there with Messi and Ronaldo. And for Atletico to keep him, given how many of their top players they've had to sell year in, year out, is a huge show of strength.
It's a sign of the status of the club as well.
Absolutely. Probably, they are here and they're here to stay.
So Sevilla, Jorge Sampaoli has come in after a great job with the Chilean national team. Going to be very interesting to see how he replaces Unai Emery.
Chilean.
Yeah, what do you say? Chilean?
Yeah, I think
so. I never know what's right.
That sounds American, but it might not be.
The Chilean coach.
Oh, my! The Chilean in the Caribbean. He did really well.
Sorry to our American listeners.
Oh, yes.
We know they do exist.
With a terrible, terrible accent.
Okay, Chris, that was supposed to be quick fire. That was slow fire, if such a thing exists. Right, Italy, come on. Higuain.
Yeah. What a transfer.
Incredible.
And do you know what? In terms of showing your power, so Napoli didn't negotiate at all. They said he's not for sale. So Juve just went, okay, well, we'll buy it out. Then we'll negotiate with him personally and we'll sign him. 36 goals last season was a new Serie A record. They've done a buying, haven't they, really? They've bought Pjanic, probably Roma's best player, and they've bought Higuain.
Yeah, just got your rivals at their best talent. Yeah.
But I think and they've stated the Champions League is, you know, they've won 5 Scudettos in a row. It would be amazing if they don't win it. Given how they've started, what they've got, you know, 6 points from 2 games last season. They started terribly and they still won it by 9 points, I think. So it's the Champions League. And I think for all of their new signings, which look excellent on paper, yes, they lost Pogba, they've still got Buffon, Barzagli, Bonucci and Chiellini. Now, those four haven't got many more chances to win the Champions League. Maybe this is the last season.
Yeah, that's true.
Not for all of them, but I mean for them as a partnership, maybe this is the last chance. Buffon's never won it, we know. They made the final 2 years ago, and you just wonder whether, you know, that is where they're aiming now. They want to compete at the very top level of European football. And I'd love to see Buffon lift it.
I think we all would. Napoli, Maurizio Sarri's second season in charge, they've paid a lot of money for Milik, haven't they? The problem was, I suppose, that clubs know that you've got some cash, don't they?
If they know you've got 96. I mean, Higuain's the most expensive South American of all time.
Yeah.
Do you consider how many great South American players?
Well, I remember we were talking about last season on the show, saying how much would he have cost. We were surprised maybe a club. And we were speculating 40 million back then. Even then, we were like, that's a lot of money. But obviously, this market, as we've talked about earlier on the show, is just
But also, if you score 36 goals in a league season, then that pushes you, you know, maybe not by €1 million a goal, which almost has some, that 40 million. But yeah, I mean, I like Milik a lot. I think he's young. I think it's a good move for him to leave Ajax and the Eredivisie, which isn't of the standard, you know.
He needs a few chances to score, though, doesn't he?
He does, but, you know, you wonder if that will come. You know, I guess some of it's instinctive, I know, but whether that will come. I hope it will, and I hope that he does well, because I think he's very excited.
What is he, 23 or something? He looks a lot older than...
He does, yeah. I mean, that relationship with Lewandowski. I mean, Poland were... okay, a lot of people criticised Lewandowski at Euros because he didn't score goals, but I thought they were good. I thought Poland had never won a game in a European Championship, and they did well. It's going to be hard for Napoli, I think. Given how many goals Higuain scored, you wonder whether they might look back in future years, given Juve's start, and think, what a chance that was to win the title.
Exactly. I think a lot of teams will feel that, including Roma, set for a first full season with Luciano Spalletti back in charge. Does that make sense?
Yep.
First full season since he came back in charge. Frank de Boer replacing Roberto Mancini at Inter. Gian Mario, one of their big signings from Sporting. And Gianluigi Donnarumma, who we talked about lots last year, Chris, the Milan goalkeeper.
Yeah, he's now made his Italy debut.
That is staggering, isn't it?
He is 17. There was a stat that he's born almost 500 days after Buffon made his Italy debut.
Oh, wow. So I mean, when, you know, with the Premier League money floating around, I mean, in a couple of, is he, who knows, well, if he'll still be there. Well, it'll be hard to keep him.
Yeah, I mean, he has a very high-profile agent as well.
Has he got
Mino? He's got Ola as well.
Yeah, he's got Mino. Okay, yeah.
So, yeah. So
he was very critical of Jurgen Klopp.
Yes, well...
He called him...
he said he's not a great manager, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think he used bad language.
Oh, did he?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, well.
Actually, because we were talking, I've just read Sir Alex Ferguson's Leading.
Oh, yes.
Which you also read. He said, there was one man I did not trust instantly, and that was Mino Raiola.
Yeah, over the Pogba.
Pogba.
It was great, that book, because he praises lots of people, and he reserves criticism for about 10 people in the whole book.
Yeah, even Keane, he's like super nice about
but
the
there's
whole
a few,
book.
He doesn't like West Ham, I think. or he didn't like going to West Ham.
No, he didn't.
He admires them as a club. And he doesn't like Raiola. No,
absolutely not. France, come, we got to be quicker here, Chris. I'm looking at the timer.
What are we on?
Too long.
France, yes. Paris Saint-Germain already lost this season.
Yeah, staggering.
I mean, just to show Laurent Blanc wins every trophy going, wins the title by 100 points and gets the sack, having signed a new contract. So his payoff is enormous. So they don't care, the owners. They want success in Europe. If ever, that's apparently it's this summer with Blanc. Unai Emery,
he's their big signing, isn't he, in a way? I know they've spent a lot of money on Krakowiak.
Well, yeah, but in terms of since QSI came in, this was the summer that they have, in terms of outgoings and ingoings, it's easily the leanest in terms of how much money has gone out of the Parc des Princes. And yeah, I mean, it's a big job for Emery, because they had Ancelotti. He's won 3 Europa Leagues. In terms of big names, he isn't yet, and he will be if he, you know, does very well with Paris Saint-Germain, but he isn't a Mourinho, or maybe certainly not a Guardiola or a Mourinho or a Conte. So that, I think that they couldn't get that type of coach in when they looked to replace Blanc.
Had one with Ancelotti, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, but that, I don't know if that was a fairly unique set of circumstances. So they've sort of gone, I don't mean second tier, because Emery is a... He's a fantastic coach and he's great to watch, but they haven't managed to attract that real superstar name. And it's going to be interesting to see how they go. They lost twice all of last season. They were beaten by Monaco. David Luiz, I think they were relatively... No, they weren't happy to see him go, but...
I think they were pretty content.
They were pretty
content.
The
amount of money they got back from.
Exactly. So it'd be interesting to see. It's Marquinhos' time now to step up, along with Thiago Silva, and along with the youngster who apparently... Presnel Kimpembe, who apparently Chelsea were interested in as well, and Paris Saint-Germain said he's not for sale. So he started the season.
Oh, and then, I remember reading that, yeah.
So Thiago Silva and Marquinhos haven't been there. A lot of Brazilian players haven't at the start of the European season. So how they go, if anyone can get anywhere close to them, Lyon maybe?
maybe Nice, who lost Hatem Ben Arfa and have 7 points in three games, but have signed Mario Balotelli. Extraordinary free transfer. Lyon kept Lacazette as well, and Nabil Fekir. Fit.
Umtiti
gone. It's a loss.
Umtiti gone. I think he'll be absolutely fantastic, to be honest, in a few years. But Lacazette scored 6 goals in 3 games to start the season. They were disappointing last campaign, although ultimately finished in the top three. I think if anyone can push them, I think Lyon. I don't think Paris Saint-Germain will win the title by as many points as they did last season.
But they will win it.
They will win it.
Okay, so this weekend, PSG play Saint-Etienne. Wonderful fixture after the international break. In Italy, after the international break, Juventus will take on Sassuolo. Palermo face Napoli and Roma host Sampdoria. Higuain faces Napoli on the 29th of October. Put a big red circle on that one.
Fortunately for him, maybe in Turin. The return in Napoli, given that Napoli owner said he had insulted Naples, will be spicy, I think.
Certainly. And in Spain this weekend, Celta host Atletico. It's Real Madrid against Osasuna, Sevilla versus Las Palmas, and Barcelona take on Alaves, the first Clásico, December 4th. And late November, we have a Madrid derby, and Barca play Atletico the weekend after next.
Yep, and sorry about... off-air, I managed to say that Palermo were playing both Juventus and Napoli on
my notes. I'm glad that we managed to fix that.
We did. But my soccer way is stuck on Greek.
Because you've been going on too many holidays. Your mobile does not know where you live anymore.
It's true. But also, it's fine if it's French, but when it's Greek and it's a different alphabet, it's pretty hard to decipher. That's why Palermo had such a hard weekend.
Okay, let's predict the Champions League places for the top four leagues that we sort of talk about on the show.
Okay.
Spain, go.
Spain will be... Real Madrid, I think, will win the title. Barcelona second, Atletico third, and Sevilla fourth.
Okay, good. Swap Barca and Real around, and that's Real Madrid around, and that's mine. Italy.
You go first.
Juve, Roma, Napoli.
Ooh.
I think a full year of Spalletti and Roma might kick into gear.
I think Inter are going to get Champions League football.
Do you?
I think
what, because of De Boer?
No, because of their squad.
Really?
I think it's really good. They haven't really lost anyone. They kept Icardi.
They spent
big 12 months ago and it didn't work, and they've added João Mario. I think Napoli will finish second into third.
Okay. Germany.
Bayern.
Yeah.
Dortmund.
Mm-hmm.
Gladbach third.
Oh.
And I think Schalke will get the fourth and final Champions
So you don't think
League
Leverkusen
place.
Are getting in the,
nope.
in the Champions League? I've actually gone for the same top three. I really think Gladbach are so good to watch. Andre Schubert's got them playing wonderful attacking football. They've made smart little transfers. And then I've got Leverkusen fourth, but Bayern top, obviously Dortmund second. But a lot of it has been made of the signing Schalke have made. I'm going to hold my judgment on that. I don't think it's quite as good as everyone.
They could implode as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, despite Marcus Weinzierl being in charge.
Yeah.
They could absolutely. France, so PSG are going to win the league.
That would be bold not to go. Lyon second. And Monaco third.
Okay, we'll put that on the website as well so people can hold us to account when we're horribly wrong later in the year.
And Gangon win the title.
Go on, Kirkup. Okay, Chris, we finished the first show.
It's nice
to be back, wasn't it?
It's nice to be back. The weather's turning. it's going to get cold. So it's winter.
It is. In London.
In London. Oh, yes, good point,
Basically, it's raining today, so that's why you're saying that.
Yeah, but it's all, I mean, the trees are beginning to turn. So that's when the football really kicks in. I always think you have everyone gets themselves sorted in the first few weeks of the season. Transfer window slams shut, international break comes in, and then things properly start.
Okay, so we're starting. That's why we're starting
That's
now.
Why we're
it's
starting
not because you've been having loads of holidays.
No, that's why.
Okay, we'll see you again next Monday. For more, head to the website footballineurope.co.uk.